Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Evan.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back. Welcome back, guys. Sorry we missed last week. You know, it was my wife's birthday, and things were a bit crazy like they always are with end of the summer things going on. But we are back. Devin, what do you got for us today? Oh, nice. We're going to need that one.
We're going to need a drink after this.
Okay.
Even the gardens of Versailles, left untended, will turn back to forest and once again be unremarkable.
Oh, yes.
You know who came up with that?
Benjamin Franklin.
Me.
Oh, nice.
I made up a quote.
Nice.
Because I forget what I was doing, but I was thinking, I don't know, I went to Versailles on my honeymoon, and then something came up. I was listening to something, and then, I was listening to fantasy music while building this army, and then I was thinking of Versailles, and then I was thinking how if we don't keep up with our channel, it will become unremarkable. That was my thought. So then I was like, oh, maybe I can do it into like a fancy quote.
Nice.
Like, you know, it's just you got to tend your garden, right?
Yeah.
Or it will be overgrown. Exactly. And so even the gardens of Versailles will fall back into forest unless tended.
Right. And become unremarkable. Yeah.
Right.
We don't want the mill.
Yeah. We don't want our channel and we don't want our podcast, even though it's a lot of catch up stuff on the podcast. And we like to get people on so we can have a platform to chat with people that we want to chat with.
Right.
But yeah, we got a couple things happened. We lost our sponsorship after two videos.
Bum, bum, ba, bum.
They kicked us to the curb and
they did.
They have good reason because. Listeners, take a guess of how many people signed up for Skillshare after two videos.
I know. After all the asking that we did and the pleading, like, just sign up. You can always just cancel it. It'll give us the numbers. We had a whole whopping.
It's somewhere between zero and zero. No one signed up. And, part, I will say, we started with two not normal videos on the channel. Which was building a toy
box.
Right, or,
not necessarily not normal, just not our bangers, right? The things that we know do well, like axes and knives and swords and,
Yeah, the normal axes, knives, bows. Yeah, the big stuff.
Yeah, bows,
so that
right.
is on us, but it just happened to line up with those are the things we had. Those were the projects we were planning to do. And we you do these ones in between the big ones just to keep it moving. Things need to get built anyway. And never know. Sometimes I think it might be unremarkable, but you think, well, maybe it'll pick up on something and people want to see it. Like the barrel, the fire pit.
Yeah, the fire pit. Right, exactly. Right. That was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Let's build a oil barrel fire pit. I just wanted to build the fire pit and I thought it would look cool. Mm-hmm. And people loved it. And, and the leather, like the Chinese leather sewing machine, people loved it. And who knows? Yeah.
Right. So we got that. So we have to tend to our garden and we've discussed it about, did we talk about last time what we want to do? We can talk about a little bit that just each month there will basically be three or four things coming out.
Right.
Whether it'll be stories.
Couple lives. Yeah.
It'll be lives. And it'll be one big one.
Yeah, some
so we're aiming
posts.
We're aiming for a big video, a small video, and at least one live and at least one story. Hopefully more than that.
Right.
So that, I think that's what it'll take to get our channel back on track. And if we do want to tend it and we do want to make it into something a little bit more self-sustaining, and, you know, get sponsors again and stuff like that, I think that's what it will take to try to wedge our way back into maybe the YouTube algorithm. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, like you said, Skillshare decided to not continue the next four videos that we had talked about. And it's, you know, it's the ending quarter. It's the last part of the year, right? So obviously, like most businesses, that last quarter is, you know, you're trying to figure out what you want to do. It's like your last hurrah before next year, and you have to figure out where to cut costs as well. So, you know, Skillshare being the monster that it is, not monster in the bad way, but monster is like its size. It's huge, right? And it sponsors hundreds and hundreds of channels, right? So it's looking at its analytics, and there are people who are saying, okay, here's all of our channels. This is the bottom 30%, right? Cut them off. Like, yep, they're not producing sign-ons, so they're gone. And then we have all these other channels we can reach out to and try them. Or, like, what our context said was, you know, let's talk again in a couple months, like in the beginning of the year, right? And look at the other platforms, look at the other sponsors within the platform that he was kind of repping for, and, you know, maybe we can make a deal with somebody else. So it wasn't like, you're gone, they never want to work with you again. It was, hey, you're not producing right now, so we're going to have to let you go in the final quarter, and because we have to focus, you know, put our money toward people who are giving us, like, you know, the signups, yeah, which is fair, right? You know, there's nothing personal. They don't care about us, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't have any stake in the game to care about Skillshare either. You know, it's like, it's not like we know someone who's the CEO. You know, it's just, it's another company.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll keep trying to do those things, or we'll find a smaller company and hang their banner up and talk about them every, I always love the home improvement thing, like Binford Tools. We just have someone that we talk about every episode, and they just give us a little bit, and we say, hey, man, we'll do every video we do for a year. You give us a certain amount, and we'll just do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, exactly, we did the sponsorship thing. We made some money that wouldn't have been on the table before, so that's there. And we will start tending our palace of art and craftsmanship.
Sure. And that's the thing. You know, we have, there is there's, it's a balancing game for what you do as a content creator. You know, do you just follow the algorithm and just do what YouTube wants to see so that way you can be successful? Or do you do what you want to do and hopefully the people come along and are there to support you, whether or not it's the algorithm or not? Now, that's a hard decision to make, because anyone who gets into content creation is really eventually you're hoping to make some money, right? That's, there's a goal there. It's a reason why you do something. Like, why put the extra time in filming yourself and editing and putting it out there if there's no return? Now, of course, like, there's a return as in we part of the community and people appreciate it. And that's a huge part. That's the, like, emotional support that's there. But also, there's got to be a return that makes it worth your time. Because otherwise, why am I going to hang out in the shop with Devin for a couple nights a week when I could be hanging out my wife or my daughter or, you know, like, like my immediate family? Of course, you're my family, right? So I want to see you often. But like, you know, that's taking away time from our, like, our immediate families and our other things we want to do. So there's got to be a return on it. But I think our channel all along has been about all sorts of stuff, right? That there's some variety there, that you're going to come and you're going to see us make something cool no matter what it is, right? And it's going to be, the craftsmanship's going to be there, and the level of production is going to be there, and they're going to get something out of it, and there's going to be some learning. It's not just 15 minutes of just you shooting what I'm doing. It's me talking and walking you through some stuff and giving you some pointers and being part of that, like, that shop community, right? And so unfortunate thing, like you said, is like we had two videos in a row that weren't the YouTube algorithm bangers, you know. So
Unfortunately. Yes. So, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. So we'll keep working on it. Yeah. And we,
so that's, yeah, that's one thing.
That's our disaster story.
We have another one.
which one was so, that?
That's my bro exploding on me.
Right. How could I forget?
I know. The most dramatic, fortunately caught on film, which we always hope, you know, anything that happens dramatic in the shop is caught on camera because it just makes good content. Yeah, so we're pretty far along in the bone making process, and we've shared this with everybody. It was, we kind of talked about it. We're like, maybe we need to put this stuff up and let people know, because then it'll hype it, right? And it has, right? So we've gotten a little bit of hype already based off of the bow exploding, and so we're kind of bringing people along with the process of, now I got to start over from a fresh stave. And that's one of the things that was kind of nice about this project, is that I had a stave already, like sapwood gone, you know, bark gone, sapwood gone, chased a growth ring, you know, so, and that's cutting down multiple growth rings down from the outside of the tree until you cut away the wood, so you have just one growth ring that is on the entire outside of the bow, so that becomes the strength of the back of the bow, the part that's facing away from you when you shoot. So that was the great thing about that stave, is that was all already done. That takes hours of work and already out off the table. So we were able to like get right into shaping the bow and getting it down to size and kind of starting the tillering process really quickly. So we got to close to our final weight and tillering with just a little bit of touch up here and there. You know, I might have been able to pull away another like 5 to 7 pounds and gotten both limbs bending really even by tillering, which is just the process of removing wood from both limbs, the top and bottom, until both limbs bend evenly. Right. Yeah. And so we were working on that, on the time lapse, and you know, Devin was just, usually what Devin will do when we're shooting a time lapse is he'll just shoot it in normal speed in case something like that happens. And like what you said was like, you're sitting there thinking like, okay, I've had a, you know, I got a good amount of time lapse. Maybe I'll switch it over into the setting on the camera that takes an actual time lapse. Like it takes a picture every 2 seconds or something.
Right. Instead of 20 minutes of footage, it takes, like you said, a shot every second, or you can set it for whatever you want. It saves a lot of room in your camera. On your card.
Right. Yeah, so you had that thought of like, maybe it's time to switch over to just a regular time lapse, and you know, we'll see how it goes. And fortunately you didn't, because I'm just pulling the bow back, and I was actually like, so one of the things you try not to do when you're tillering is you try not to pull the limbs any further than your final draw weight, your goal. So our goal with this bow was that it was going to be 100 pounds at approximately 30 inches, which is my draw length. So when you pull the bow back, when the string is back and it's back 30 inches from the handle, then it's 100 pounds of weight. And so you don't want to pull your bow any further than that. So even when it's really high, you know, the limbs are really thick, it might only pull 10 inches. And if you hit 100 pounds at 10 inches, you just don't pull past that because you don't want to overstress the limbs. And you really don't have to pull to that final draw weight when you're tillering. You just have to pull enough that you can see the limbs bending and, you know, enough that you can see where they're bending and how they look. So I'd gone back and forth between the bow up on the tillering tree, pulling it from a distance with the draw weight, looking at it, looking at the limbs, marking it back over to the vise, take some material off, tillering tree, vise, back and forth. And so I was up on the tillering tree. I'm pulling it. I'm looking at it. I kind of determined what the next part of stuff I had to remove, but I was like, well, let me pull it fully out to 100 just to see where I am at 100. You know, so I'm like, I pull it and, you know, it's like 24, 26, 28 inches, which is probably about what it was at that 27 or so inches at 100 pounds. And I'm like, all right, I'll pull it out to 100, you know, because I had pulled it like maybe 7 or 8 times, looked at things. All right, got what I needed to tiller. All right, let me pull it one more time, go to 100 just to see how it's looking at 100 pounds. And that was the last one. And I pulled it and bam, the top limb broke about a third of the way up the limb. And just split right at two little pin knots. So there are two little pin knots that are probably about a half an inch apart, maybe 3/4 of an inch apart on the limb, right next to each other. and that's where it let go. So they both it popped there, and yeah, it was actually pretty interesting to see the way the bow broke, because it shattered along those growth rings. You know, like it broke on the pin knob and then broke the rest of the way through, and you could see the different growth rings splitting and cracking. You know, it didn't the belly side, the side that's facing towards you when you draw, that was still about maybe an eighth of an inch of wood that didn't snap all the way through, so it held on, but everything else just broke through. And so fortunately that was caught on camera. So yeah, everyone will get to see the actual moment of disaster in the bow. I guess you got to leave in your stuff too, your audio, because you were like, oh no. Like,
I did a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and I was like, and then, you know, like, oh, I'm still on camera. Okay.
I think the only thing I asked, I think, was like, how far did you pull it? So I wasn't sure how far it was. Because I remember, I had the feeling, I mean, it's still always, I mean, I kind of cringe every time I see
you
pulled all the way back during it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, constantly, and I was watching, and I remember thinking, yeah, that's really getting pulled far on this one.
Right. Yeah.
And I kind of was already half clinched. And then, bam, snap. I was like,
yeah,
that one hurt. I just kind of put my head down and
that one hurts. Now looking at the golden, the silver lining, or at least the cup is half full perspective, I hadn't done all of the, you know, chasing the growth ring and everything during this build, right? So we weren't that many hours into it already, although I did that a few years ago. That's like money in the bank that's already been spent, right? You know, it's like, I have no like qualms about breaking something that I spent hours, you know, on it years ago. Yeah. So that was a little bit less tough, because it's not like we had just filmed it all and shot all that and like gotten to a point where we have to start off over completely. Now I do have to start over completely, but I didn't have to start from the beginning the first time around. So,
right.
And also, you know, the other silver lining is that's just bow making. You know, bows break. That's part of the process. That's part of what makes a bow so fascinating, a stick bow or a self bow, that you can take this item that used to be a tree, you know, pretty close to when you end up using it. You know, it's a tree, and then you cut it and you split it and you take the bark off and you take the sapwood off and you cut down into some growth rings and you shape it, and then you can bend it and it will spring back to almost straight. You can bend it like to a half circle and right. It will almost spring back to completely straight. You know, and over time it can stay like that. It's just fascinating, and you can heat treat it and you can shape it and you can move it. And it's that literal tension, right? It's under tension because it's being stretched, but the tension of like, at any point you have this thing that is just wood that could break on you. And that's, you know, there's power in it, and that's the power that's releasing when you release that arrow. You're releasing that power in the wood that's, it's like held inside of it, and you're like letting it out. So it's just a fascinating process, and it like, it excites me every time that I do a bow. And it's fun, and the outcome is so cool. Like, what a cool thing to be able to make this thing that can shoot an arrow and, you know, and provide for you if you needed it to, right?
It's like one of the, I mean, it's the most simple mechanism you can think of, pretty right. much. I mean, other than throwing a spear, but that doesn't really do anything.
Right.
There's a bent stick that can do this amazing thing and send a projectile, you know,
way more than
hundreds,
we could do it on our own. Yeah.
Hundreds of yards just from a stick, just because you've formed it right.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're releasing that energy that you can't. It's like it's the most simple way to amplify our human energy. You know, because you could swing a stick, right, and then the speed of the stick right. that's moving, that's far away from you, is going faster than the part that's touched your hand, mm-hmm. right? And you're like releasing that energy, but you can't throw it that far, and then you just make this one thing, and you use the power that's in it, and you release it, and it, like you said, it shoots a thousand yards, or, you know, like 500, right. 600, 700 yards when you shoot something.
We will find out. So continuing on, this will be like a super video.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did we capture it breaking, which is good. It's fun content to watch.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like,
it sucks,
not many people,
you know,
not
to have to build it again, but
not many people capture
no.
a bow breaking.
I was looking, I not like super hard, but I looked on YouTube. I was looking for bow breaking videos, and I didn't find any. Like right. I said, I'm not super. I spent, you know, maybe 20 minutes kind of looking, and then and got distracted and ended up watching one of them. But but there's a lot yeah. about like how to keep it from breaking or how to repair a broken thing. But
yeah. And maybe maybe we'll do a separate thing on that or a story yeah. or something like that, just of you like building up to it breaking.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. so that's going to be in it. Dustin is now all this week, and until he's done, like hopefully yeah. by next week we can start shooting again because I have mm-hmm. no ball games.
Yeah,
yep, and so
yeah,
we can start again. And then working once on we get it done,
yeah,
we have a you got another bow you're starting and working yep. on, and a date that we're thinking. Right. Hopefully, if this one stays together, that we're going to yeah. do a big shoot,
epic,
yeah,
bow day event. Yeah, mm-hmm. and yeah, do all the stuff. You know, like test it and shoot it and do all sorts of fun stuff along with the bow I'm making. But then also invite a bunch of friends to help us shoot for the day, but then have like a big shoot off with them as well. So,
yeah,
so that should be fun. And if you follow along Instagram, either my stories or if you follow Devin on at the Art of Camera Guy, you'll see that he's been doing some awesome work, making some, some 2D soldiers out of plywood and like making all of our targets. He's got a whole whole arsenal, whole army in his backyard, scaring yep. the dog.
I just finished the 10th right before we started this podcast, and right 10. After.
Nice. 10.
And
dang.
Right after the podcast, hopefully yep. Guy's going to come over and we're going to start painting them.
Nice.
I got I got red, white, and gray paint from Home Depot today.
Sweet. Nice. Like OOP stuff, or you just got, what was that they had, like the basics?
Whatever a gallon of the cheapest stuff they had, but yeah, they still right. matched whatever red, color I picked. Gray. So I was like kind of a dullish red, almost like a yeah. blood red,
yeah,
something
yeah,
that you might nice. Think is it would be natural, you know, yep. for some type mm-hmm. of medieval thing. And so, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to do that kind of big, a couple red crosses, couple big checker, yeah, you know, red, right. yep. like a couple of those, a lot of white sleeves, dark gloves, that type of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome.
Three of the guys have a cloak, so I yeah. cut the wood at an angle in the bottom, like away from them.
Oh, nice.
so those are the last man. Three. I had gotten good at it. You know, I knew exactly. Yeah. So I was getting fancy. I was like, oh, I'll cut a cloak into the bottom, and like I'll know where to paint. You know, the swoops of the cloth and where everything yeah. is, so it'll look like they're wearing a cloak, even nice. Though it's flat. But yeah, it's been fun. Like I said, I've been just listening to soundtracks of like
epic war battle, and warm epic sound
and just
songs.
Like and just having fun cutting them out there, making
that's
them.
Great. You're like, yeah,
that's yeah. like the battle. So yeah. that's been fun. Yeah, I got 10 done, so we'll start painting tonight, and I'll put nice. A bunch of pictures up as we're doing it.
That's sweet. So you're just doing plywood, and then can you talk a little bit about what you're doing? Like a little bit more about what they look like, how they're made and stuff.
Oh yeah, so we got from Nicole Dozen's wife. They get crates of materials, right? So and these right, are big yeah. wooden crates, and they got pretty thick plywood. Some pretty thin and thick. So yeah. there's a mix of it. A lot of the heads I made out of the thinner stuff. So if okay. you do score a hit on the head, it might just explode.
Oh,
which
nice.
Would be awesome.
Yeah. Like, So you have, did you create like the body as a main shape and then build onto it with all the
yeah,
different
yeah,
characters?
Okay. Luckily with a lot of that stuff, a lot of it was these long, what they call them, doublets or those long, heavy, thick materials that would go down all the way down to the knee.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that was the thick padding and then under chainmail and stuff if they had it.
Right. Yeah.
But a lot of that was just long, one big thing you could throw over. You know, they didn't have a lot yep. of pants and shirts. It was just a big, heavy thing that you would put on. So,
yeah, right.
That kept the whole body and the hips and stuff. So I just
right.
I actually used my wife, put her up against one of the big boards and just sketched around her for general proportions
of, yeah right
to get where the hips hit to cut in just a little bit and then yep. come back out down and you know wider shoulders and that type of thing. So I made a bunch of those all different sizes and types
yeah
and I made some of the guys bigger. Like, we have two people with, like, full helmets, like big hardcore ones with, like, the crosses in the middle where you can just see through that.
Right.
And they're the biggest guys, and they'll have the axes, you know, like, above their head. So they're going to be, like, the super crazy guys you don't want to fight. But then I made a king. I made two kings guard.
Nice.
And those guys are a little bit shorter than the king, because I figured the king wouldn't want anyone taller than him, you know? Like,
right.
So they're pretty standard. And both those guys, we're going to need two really long swords for them. That's all they carry.
Okay.
Are just two badass long swords.
Okay.
We need two big axes for the axemen.
Okay.
So I gave...
two swords.
Two long swords.
two axes.
Battle axes.
Okay.
For the big, huge guys.
Yeah.
And I will probably make the pikes or the... I have two guys with kite shields.
Okay. Yep.
And they'll have the longer poles.
Right. Yep.
And then I have three guys with round shields, and they'll have kind of a shorter sword.
Okay.
So a smaller round shield and short swords.
Short swords, gotcha. So, so more like gladius type, you know, Roman swords as opposed to a long sword, like a bastard sword. Gotcha.
And those are the guys with the cape. So, you know, it goes over their shoulder and over their arm and then down to the side and below.
Right. And then, so that's the two pikes, which you're doing, and then the king. Right.
Yep.
So I'm thinking of people, right? Yeah. Two swords, two axes, three short swords, two pikes, and a king with no weapon.
Yeah.
Sweet. Maybe I should make him I guess he wouldn't be a banner. Like, he wouldn't. You're going to do them on the pikes, like flags. What would he
carry? Yeah, I'll do flags on the pikes. He would. I feel like he might just...
like a scepter. Like, I don't know. I guess he doesn't have to have anything, but he's just
his
king.
Arms are kind of as if you're standing straight out and your elbows out.
Okay.
So kind of like that, like a proud stance.
Like hands on the hips kind of thing?
Yeah, a little bit. Not as far, though. Like hands down at the side, but you know, your hands never really go straight down. They're just,
Your
elbows are
out,
pointing out a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, maybe we can give him a dagger on the hip or something. You know.
Hold on 1 second, Dev.
Yeah.
Hold on.
And now we wait. Someone's there to see Dustin. You know, I'll go into more of it while he's away. So I did the big one piece, which is nice. Like I said, I don't have to do any legs. And then I took just planks off of normal pallets to go straight down. They don't have any shoes or boots, but I figured they won't need to because they'll be standing in a field. So that might cover that up. You just kind of want the general silhouette of the guys. And then Dustin's gonna do the weapons. I'll probably make some of the weapons, but I think he'll cut out a lot of simple weapons, and then we're gonna do the painting tonight, so it should be fun. I've been having a blast doing it. I don't usually get to get out there and get dirty and use all my tools, so it's been a lot of fun.
Okay.
He's back. Hello.
I'm back. Sorry. Were you talking the whole time?
I was talking most of the time. I just explained a little bit more about doing the stuff, painting it. You're going to make some weapons for it, and then, we'll be good to go.
Right on.
But awesome. It's going to be nice. Yeah, we're going to set them out, you know, every 100 yards and see how far Dustin can shoot. Have them generally to shoot at, and then we'll get everyone together and shoot at, kind of group them all up in a group of 10, you know, mid-range somewhere out there. A good long-distance shot, but somewhere where it's at, like you're shooting at a small group, and we'll have some games and we'll have some prizes and money and things to... It's going to be a blast. So hopefully the last 15 or 20 minutes of the video will be that. Just a fun time, everyone getting together. And having some fun.
It's
going to
be great.
Stuff.
Yeah. I like you had some ideas of, like, let's make it, you know, let's make it fun and like...
give back to the people who have helped us, you know, like our brothers and our friends who have helped along the way for the channel, you know, so we'll do some cash prizes, make it kind of fun, make it seem like we had a few different ideas, but one was like maybe we have a bunch of guys, you know, a bunch of targets set up and we have all our friends like shooting at them and each target has like a different amount of, like they all have like little bags of money attached to them. And, you know, depending on who shoots which bag, it's a little random. Like maybe one has like 20 bucks in it. One's got 10, one's got five, one's got a buck, you know, so they can get some cash and stuff for playing along. So
yeah, I'm really excited. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, what else has been going on? I mean, we already have to kind of wrap it up.
Yeah. So let's see. Some things I wanted to talk about. One of the things was, that's fine. So I've been making all these like wooden swords, which has been super fun. I made, I think, four swords. I think it took me about 5 hours, and that's including doing like the handle wraps and stuff. For Corinne, for her birthday party coming up, she's doing a Percy Jackson themed birthday party type thing. So she wanted to have wooden swords for all of her friends that came. So I've been working on that. So that was fun. And, you know, it's fun because like now I'll be making some more wooden swords, but just flat versions of them for our video as well. I got a good mind for all this wooden weapons right now.
And if you need scrap, I've got so much of it.
Yeah, yeah, right on.
I mean, so many little chunks of plywood and you know, so many stuff that you could use if you wanted to, you know.
Whatever. Yeah, for
come,
like...
Come get a bunch or just bring up.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would do. But anyway, you know.
It's... Yeah. Yeah, let's see. Oh, I went glass blowing today. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the last day of my first week back professional development side of our teaching. Like we come back for a week and then the second week, which is next week, is when students come back. So this last day we did kind of a group building thing where we all went to a glass blowing studio and got to blow some glass, which was really cool. Or at least got to form glass, right? We were working, obviously each of us was just like working individually with their teachers that do it and, you know, walked us through these different small projects. So I actually made a stemless wine glass, right? So just the the glass part, yeah, and like three colors and glass and it cool, like nice twisty stuff. And but I got to like, you know, play in the forge and do a little bit of the like rolling the tube back and forth and holding it in the forge and then like helping to form it and stuff, you know. They work like it was maybe 20 minutes that I was with the guy, so they work really, they, you know, they work quick with you to get our whole group through. But but it was cool, you know. I talked to him a little bit that I have experience with fire and forges and stuff like that, and, you know, and so I was asking him a little bit more technical questions about like heating time and like when glass melts and, you know, blah blah blah, like this different stuff. So it was kind of nice to talk to him a little bit different things about that, you know, about the glass blowing than what he was talking with everybody else. I think there were like five or six teachers like rotating us through. They could do kind of three people at a time, and so it's kind of just this constant rotation when people would finish and pick it up. So I was like watching a bunch of the other teachers do it, and then I did it, which it was really cool. So that was awesome. Fun. Yeah. And so it's like a different, it's another like aspect of a forging process, which is really interesting, you know, like working with something that reaches a melting temperature really quickly, but it also can hold its shape, right? When steel gets to that part where it melts, it melts. It's liquid, right? It's going from like solid to liquid. Now, obviously, there's a range in between when it's orange hot or yellow hot where you can forge it, but it's not like dripping off of your, you know, it's if it turns to drippy, it's just drip to liquid. You know, it's like it's gonna hold its shape if you swing it around in the air unless you hammer on it, right? Then it'll change shape. So like glass being that much more liquid in that state, it holds its form together and turns into this like, you know, peanut butter and then into like honey, you know, so you're like holding it, you're spinning it, and it wants to move on you if you don't keep moving. So that was super interesting. It was fun.
That's sweet. And then last night.
Yeah, last night.
One last thing.
Yeah.
You guys came to the ballpark because.
We did.
The shop elf was singing the national anthem at Camden Yards.
Yep. Yeah, with her choir. She's part of the concert chorus or the honors chorus, and so they sang last week on Saturday at the Iron Birds, which is a minor league
for the Baltimore Orioles, and they sang there. They sang the national anthem, and that was with like maybe like 4,000 or 5,000 fans in the stands. You know? Yeah, so we were at the Ironbirds, and you know, she sang there with her group, and that was really fun. But it was like it was a good step up, right, from like do it in front of 5,000 fans where the stadium is one level, you know, and like and it's that kind of minor league, and then step up to the real deal, right? Singing the national anthem at a pro game for what, like maybe 12,000 people, 15,000 people that were at the stadium.
Yeah, it wasn't too packed, but it was decent. Decent crowd for Thursday.
Yeah, so that was great, and she did awesome, and they sounded great, and you got to go down and see her on the field, which is cool. Went out and, you know, snagged a picture with her, which is really fun. And yeah, she did a great job, and then the Orioles kicked ass. Had an awesome, not really, but like it was a great game. They scored, the other team scored a run in the first, and then the Orioles scored a 2-run home run in the first. So we were up 2-1 for most of the game. And then it was zeros up until what, the eighth inning, or something like that. And then, the White Sox, scored a run to tie it. And then they scored another run to take the lead at 3-2. So then in the ninth inning, what's the second baseman's name? Something with an S.
Stowers.
Yeah.
So he's new. Rookie. Yeah. We just called him up. Yeah.
Yeah. Brand new. No homers. You know, only a few hits. And he gets, you know, he's up at bat. He's got 2 strikes, 2 balls. It's 2 outs in the inning. He's the last person. He hits this, like, pop fly. Almost gets out. But then it's the guy drops it instead of catching it, like, in the foul territory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he gets another go at bat, and he hits a home run. A home run with, like, two strikes, two outs, last, basically, possibly the last pitch of the game. He hits a home run, ties it up.
That's the best.
That's actually why my voice is a little bit sexy today.
Oh, man, the crowd, you guys were loud. I was going
nuts. Yeah, it was awesome. So, like, he hits a home run, ties the game, we go into extra innings. No, you know, two awesome innings by Felix Bautista, who's like another rookie closer or whatever, rookie pitcher.
How'd you like the Bautista show?
Awesome. That was awesome. Yeah. So they had like all the lights in the stadium all like flashing on and off to get this like dark light, boom, the strobe like when he's coming out. It was so awesome. That was great. I was like, oh man, this is great. I was like, that's impressive how much light they cast. And when even like a quarter of them are off, it's like dark in the stadium. You know, it's nighttime.
It's great. And there's certain rules. Great. Like you can only do those lights for so long from when they come out onto the field to like basically they touch the mound. You can do that because you can't interrupt the other team, you know, if they're warming up pitchers, whatnot, that type of thing. But you can do it for low. We just started doing it. I mean, everyone just started doing it once you got LED lights as well. Because the old lights, you could not do that.
Right.
I mean, they took 10, 20 minutes just to turn on. So if you turn them off, they weren't coming back on.
They were done. So,
but now with these huge LED lights, you can do all these crazy things. So
yeah, if you imagine like a strip of LED lights that are like, say, 100 feet long, and they're lighting up from left to right and right to left, left to right, right to like like Kit from what's that? From Knight Rider. Back and forth. And it was so awesome, man. It was great. Yeah, so hyped him up. He came out, pitched 2 like lights out innings, and then in the 11th, we got the walk-off single, and it was awesome. Yeah. The other thing that I didn't realize was that they put the runner on second, so they like automatically start with a runner on second when you get into extra innings.
Yeah, that was one of their things to try to help speed up the game.
Yeah.
And it actually does. Cool. It helps a lot for extra inning games because I haven't had one since that happened that's gone over like 12 innings, and we used to have them all the time where they just kept going and going and going. You'd be 14, 15. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I bet, man. But that was cool. It surprised me because like we almost got one guy home, but there was like a hit down third base line.
And
their third baseman jumped and threw him and got him out of him. Just barely got him out of home. And I was like, wait, how did the guy get to third? I was like, where'd he come from?
He shouldn't have, you know, he shouldn't have ran anyway. You got to wait on those. There's no reason to jump on that. But anyway.
Right.
It was great. We went
nuts. Yeah.
Really proud of Corinne. It was nice to get a picture on the field and see her and give her a hug and talk to her for a sec before she went. That was really nice.
Yep.
But yeah, so recommendations. What do we got?
I have a recommendation. This is Daniel Donnelly from at Donnelly Brothers Metalworks, and I think I've recommended him before, but Daniel's an awesome dude. He actually is currently doing a daily challenge where he's splitting wood every day, and just doing a reel of him splitting wood, and he's going to do it for an entire year. And so on day 13, he used my axe. So if you look back in his reels, on day 13 of 365, he uses the AOC axe that I made for him. And then on day 15, which I think was yesterday, he used your music from Pushing Giants in his track. You know, so like the music for the reel is Pushing Giants. So if you guys want to hear a little bit of Devin's band, you can go check out Daniel Donnelly's
That was reel. Definitely surprising, but really cool. I was like, man.
Did he he didn't contact you to get that music,
I don't know. I don't know exactly. We might have told him.
No, like, I mean, hey, like,
I but no. It was. You I mean, it's send on him everywhere. Music.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right?
You can. I mean, Pushing Giants is everywhere, so you can use it on anything. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. So that was really nice of him. I got to write something to him. That was cool.
Yeah, that was real cool. So yeah, but, so check out Daniel Donnelly. That's at Donnelly Brothers Metalworks on Instagram.
Yeah. And I'll just say I watched, or my recommendation is The House of the Dragon.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It's really good. Yeah, did you nice. Watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, man.
No, we talked about it. Oh, that's right. I've actually been rewatching the whole series. So I'm on season 4 right now. So I'm going to rewatch the whole series and then watch that. So.
Oh, man, it's really good so far.
Yeah.
There's this birthing scene that's pretty rough. So maybe, I don't know. Caitlin, my wife, had a tough time watching it because it was, pretty... If you've had any issues or your wife's had any issues with, having kids...
Right.
It might... You know, I guess... what do you call it? What's the woke term?
It might be...
Trigger. Trigger warning. Yeah. Trigger warning. Because it's a little rough. But I mean, it is what it is, and it makes it works for the scene in the show.
Right.
It's pretty rough, but man, all the actors are great. Really good. The money they put into it. The comparison. I'm not spoiling anything. They have a tournament in the first episode, just kind of like they had the tournament in the first or second episode of the first season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Right.
That little King's Feast tournament thing, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the jousting, which was super disappointing when the first season when I first saw it, because in the book it was this huge week long thing.
Oh, right.
in the show,
with the mountain,
in the first season they didn't have any money, you know, so it was two rows of people and a tiny jousting. What is this?
Yeah,
but this first episode they show the money that's behind it now. It's huge in the middle of King's Landing. Yeah, you know, these huge. I mean. It's just everything's great. It's
nice,
so well done. But so there you go.
That's awesome. Sweet. Awesome. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap this one up because we both have things to do. I did send out an Instagram post letting people know that this would be up by 6. So it's 5 o'clock right now on Friday, and it'll come up within the hour. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Sorry we missed last week, but you know we try to get out here every week if we can, and when we can't, we can't. And you know, and we're happy to be here when we are here. So if you are following along, head over to Instagram. You can follow us both there at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And head over to YouTube and check out our videos. Check out our channel. Subscribe if you haven't already. It makes a huge difference. Let us know what you think. Put it in a comment. I try to respond to every single one that's that's actually if it's a question or if it's has some type of some inquiry there, I try to respond the best I can and as soon as possible. So, but you can always send us messages on Instagram too. Send me a DM, send Devin a DM, and we'll try to, get back to you or answer your questions on here on The Art of Craftsmanship if you have something. So on the podcast, but you can also support us on Patreon. So if you want another way to support us and you're looking for something and you're going to spend your money somewhere else, you might as well help us and support us in what we're doing. You can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship. And you can support us there for, I think, as little as $2 a month or something like that. So we have a pretty, just a little bit here and there. It helps. It really makes a difference. So for those of you who have supported us, those of you who are supporting us now or ever have supported us, everything that anyone has ever given is above and beyond what is needed. So we really, really appreciate it. And, it all goes back into the channel. So That's it, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back next week. Episode 99 is next week, and then the following is episode 100. We're going to do something fun. Hopefully, I'll have a guest next week. I don't have one in line yet, but I have a few that have already agreed that they want to join us at some point. So have a guest next week, and then we'll come be after that with episode 100. And that should be a fun one. We'll see. We're going to do some cool stuff. So, everybody, cool. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.